him. He's the man to do the damage. Oh! Oh! As he looks for another headshot! Oh!
So as I said, Midnight obviously sponsored me. They were worried about me retiring from esports because that got announced after a comment on a stream where I didn't say I was immediately going to retire. I said, I'm going to start phasing the content out. And everyone went, right, he's gone. He's gone. He's gone overnight. He's gone. And so they called me up and said, listen, don't worry about that, mate. You can do football content if you like. We just love having you around because I'm just a lovable guy. So I went, all right, fine. So here's what I'm going to do. Rostermania for football. Because the football season's up and running. We've already had the first games at the time of recording this. So, you know, listen, I'm not going to let that influence what I'd sort of written down in my notes. And let's just get into it. And I'm just going to give you, like I say, my thoughts for the Premier League season, some predictions, some ideas, who I thought did good business, some players to watch out for. We're going to go through the teams in alphabetic order. I'm going to ignore some of the teams because they're just not that interesting to talk about. Sorry if you're a supporter of one of those teams. So let's start with A. A is for Arsenal. Now, historically, you guys know my feelings on Arsenal. I think Arsenal have some of the worst fucking fans in the league. And listen, we all have a laugh about it. We all have Arsenal fan TV and lead judges.
You fucking little bastard!
You know, all of that. We love it, right? That's fair enough. But in general, the average Arsenal fan on the terraces is a fucking cunt. I've never forgiven them for the way they treated, like, you know, loads of, like, really good players, like, you know, Adebayor and Aboué and people that, like, they just weren't legends. That was it. It was like, how do you fill Thierry Henry's shoes? You don't. Never seen fans so vitriolically boo their own players. You know, I think it was Aboué anyway. I think he was coming back from an injury one time. And he got brought on. Clearly was off the pace. And their own fans started booing him and Wenger took him off again. It was just like, guys, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, get behind your fucking players. They've got a level of entitlement like almost no other fan in the fucking league. And so, yeah, there was a little bit of fucking schadenfreude or whatever you want to call it. But here's the thing. I really like Wenger. I love a lot of Arsenal players. I was there when the Invincibles did the unbeaten season. I loved their transfer philosophy. Everything about that Arsenal team, they played great football. So I've always got a bit of a soft spot for them, even though I do hate the fans. So when they were struggling and when they were suffering last season, I made a point, because you'll remember, what was mad was you had Solskjaer losing like Watford but still being fifth in the league, and everyone was saying he's got to go. Everyone was lead judges on Match of the Day. Gary Lineker was even saying, yeah, you've got to go anyway. Like, fucking hell, Gary, you never have an opinion about fuck all. Meanwhile, Arsenal were like 17th in the league. They were just above the fucking relegation zone, and they were literally playing three teams that were down there. They won three in a row. They literally did an article about it. I can bring it up. Here it is. They beat like three bottom three teams or bottom five teams, then beat Spurs, and suddenly the cunt was like literally the next Wenger. This is like the media, the London bias in the media. They were saying it, it's a special day, he could be the next Wenger, blah, blah, blah. They went from disjointed to dazzling. Everyone just sucking them off, but they were still in a really bad position in the league. Now, my opinion is this. Arteta did very well to keep hold of his job. That board, holy shit, I hope he gets down and fucking prays to the football gods every day. Not many managers in a Premier League club of the size of Arsenal are going to take Arsenal down to where they were, and they were playing bad football, and they had disinterested players. And I know Davey loves Aubameyang, but Aubameyang can fuck off. He was disinterested and lazy, and he betrayed the fans, and I noticed that no one was booing him. Like, Arteta should have gone, and I said he should have gone. But I'll also just add, like, at the end of the day, he's turned it round and he is doing a great job right now. Now, listen, the Amazon Prime program that they show for all the football, All or Nothing, they're doing the Arsenal season that I'm sort of talking about now. And there was a super funny fucking clip in it, right? And it makes Arteta look like a bit of a prat. You'll enjoy this.
One of my crazy ideas. Today they're going to train in the background. You never walk alone.
That's a good idea. It's an interesting idea. I'm looking forward to this. Mm.
There's a word that we use in Spain on cycling. When a cyclist is going up and looks amazing, and in 1 kilometer he goes and looks like he's stuck and he can. It's a word, it's called pájara. And I had it once at Anfield, that the game was going there, and suddenly I could only see red shirts flying around. The game is passing all over me, and I cannot react. And people will think, what is he doing? And I am like, I cannot do it. I cannot do it emotionally, physically. I cannot cope. Everything goes too fast. And I only had that feeling in my career once, and it was at Anfield.
Boys, mentally, we start to play the game now, okay? We are at Anfield. Let's go!
Again.
When the crowd is in that mood, they play every ball of that game with the team, and you can feel it.
Nuno, tienes que darte el espacio que precises. El momento que tú veas a Salah yendo, solo estate a mirar. Si es Chamberlain o es más, ¿cómo se llama? Alexander Arnold. Bravo, boys! Well done!
Now look, it looks mental. It does look like a skit. It does look like a bit out of a fucking comedy show or whatever. And that's fine. I'll just say they do stuff like that in the NFL. I know that might blow your mind, particularly for the noise and stuff, so people can practice calling the audibles. I've seen it done where they pump like crowd noise into training exercises and stuff. But do just want to add that that game, that preparation, they got stuffed for 4-0 when they went there. So whatever, it's fine. It's just one of those. It's fine. So look, listen, Arteta eccentric, whatever. I like him. I'm all right. So let's talk about the business that they did. And low key, I think Arsenal have probably done the best out of almost any club in the transfer window. It's like actually super savvy business. They signed Gabriel Jesus from Man City for like 47 million. And for me, this is going to be the signing of the season. It's going to be right up there as one of the signings of the season anyway. This is unreal because Gabriel Jesus in the preseason has really fucking lent into the number nine role. Been banging in the goals. Looks like the type of striker that, like, you know, again, I wasn't expecting it, but like very clinical, gets in the box, playing well off defenders. Like, he's going to bang an absolute shitload. And in this team that they've got with this, like, really good, high-tempo, young, attacking midfield, you know, with Saka in there and Odegaard, he's going to get a absolute boatload of chances. And he's looking like someone who can clinically put him away. I had to look it up. He's actually still only 25, Jesus. I thought he was a little bit older. Like, what a fucking signing. Just incredible to bring him in. He's having a 20-goal season. I would bet my left nut on that. Now, in terms of their other signings, I don't know if you watch Porto in, like, the Champions League, or maybe you watched them domestically. That Porto team was really, really good. And they got Fabio Vieira from Porto. They signed him for about 30 million, 32. He is, again, super young, 22. He's out there, likes to play attacking midfield wide. Fantastic signing. Definitely someone you're going to see running the channels, making chances. Another really, really good signing. He's good enough for the Prem. The one that, like, low-key, I think is actually, like, the really, really smart one. I know people have been watching out for this Marquinhos. They signed him for, like, peanuts from Sao Paulo. Exciting Brazilian right-winger. No, I think the best bit of business after Jesus is Zinchenko. He was, like, again, from City. But he's, like, a mega utility player. And what Arsenal have had problems with is, you know, sometimes their squad wasn't particularly strong. They had a lot of dead wood on the books. And, you know, Zinchenko is someone that, yes, he plays left back primarily, but you can, you know, he's played defensive midfield. He's played right back. He's played centre back. You know, you can put him almost anywhere. And he's a really good cover option for 30 mil. And so they've now got the strength and depth. And also just getting all of the overpaid massive salary bums out of the club. Yeah, they had some of them come back from loan, like Bellerin's back and stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, like Laka, he's had his time. You know, he was on a massive contract, 31 years old. Yeah, he's gone on a free, whatever. Fuck him. Fuck all of those people that wouldn't play for the club last season. The only player out that I was worried about a little bit, and I wish they'd kept him, but I understand why they didn't, was that Guendouzi, the French guy, French-Moroccan. I actually really thought he was developing pretty well and might break through into the team at some point, or at least play a bit part this season. But yeah, it's sad to see him go. He's gone to Marseille. That's fine. So all in all, I think Arsenal, they're guaranteed top four for me this season. Now, if you wanted to have a dark horse bet on someone that was going to get in the mix with Liverpool and City, I know this might sound like hyperbole. I think, because as we'll get to when we get to Chelsea, for me, nah, I actually think Arsenal could be that good this season. I really like the squad, really like the direction they're going in. There's a good togetherness about the players. Arteta is obviously a player's manager. You know, yeah, I've got a really good feeling about Arsenal. You know, guaranteed top four at the absolute bare minimum. Back to, you know, Champions League football. And, you know, there'll probably be a period of the season where, if they can avoid injuries, they're going to have Man City and Liverpool sweating. City and Liverpool, obviously, are going to, you know, be the two favourites for the league. But if you want to bet on the outsider, Arsenal would be a really good bet for that. Next up, Aston Villa. I saw them obviously play this this weekend just gone. I don't know. I'm not feeling good about Villa at all, actually. The mad thing is, if you look at Villa, Villa have spent so much money, like, it's actually hard to sort of reconcile how much money they've had. You know, keep in mind, I mean, they spent all the money from Grealish, and then they've spent again in this transfer window, you know, spent like another 40-50 mil, something like that. And, you know, it's the players they've brought in, I just don't know. I just don't think they've done particularly good scouting. They were diabolical in the opening game of the season, and it should have been a gift. You know, they're playing Bournemouth. You know, you're just like, okay, here you go. They had a fit squad. Their signings were all there and ready to go. And they just absolutely just choked. They look terrible moving forward. Not really feeling it at all. I hope Bailey can sort of make the grade, but he sort of struggled a little bit in the first game. Got a way to go to impress me. We'll wait and see. But I mean, look, you know, Coutinho coming in, you know, obviously he was there last season as well before the move was finalized. This is the benefit of having a talismanic manager. And like, I thought Gerrard did a good job at Rangers, and obviously you jump and take a Premier League job. But I agree. I think this season, I think he's on fraud watch. I think big time he's on fraud watch, because he's had money. They've been allowed to spend the money from Grealish. He's brought in players that he says he backs and claims, and they just look trash. They look trash in what should have been a relatively easy game for them. That being said, I think Villa are going to finish probably in at lower mid-table. I think there are worse teams than them in the league. Everton, woohoo, boy. But yes, I don't think they had a particularly good transfer window. I'm going to keep watching. They brought in Diego Carlos was their big signing, big centre-back. They wanted to bolster their defensive options. And actually, it's their attacking options that seem to be like sorely lacking at the moment. I won't talk too much about Bournemouth. Obviously promoted, got a win under their belt, brought in Neto on a free from Barcelona to be like a backup keeper. You know, they signed Tavernier from Middlesbrough for like 10 mil, which my stepdad's a Borough fan, so he was capped about that. He thought that was like really good business. Bottom line is, it's Bournemouth. I think they'll do well to stay up. I don't back them to. They're one of my teams to go down this season. I think even with the early good start, they're not going to pull a Brentford. They don't have the same caliber of player in their squad. They also don't have, you know, as good a manager as they do at Brentford, in my opinion. I think it's going to be a long, hard season, a long, hard struggle for Bournemouth fans this season. So, Brentford. Brentford, obviously, you know, they lost Christian Eriksen to Man United. I'd probably talk about this here, actually. Can anyone explain to me why he was considered a must-go-to-get player? I don't believe it. I think Man United were tricked. It's absolutely insane to me that a decent midfielder on a free but he's 30 and he nearly died on the pitch like less than 2 years ago or something. No, like, you don't make that signing. Like, you just don't. I don't care. Like, you know, he's not even, like, for me, is he United caliber? No, like, he looked good at Brentford. He added a bit of, like, composure and culture to what they were doing. But yeah, I'm not vibing with that at all. I think it's a loss for Brentford, but I don't think it's a gain for United. But Brentford, obviously, you know, they've been able to spend just a little bit. They brought in a couple of, like, young players, because, again, this is, like, in line with their transfer policy. They picked up a Scottish guy called Hickey, who's, like, a left wing-back type, likes to get down there. He was playing in for Bologna. Bologna had, like, a real, you know, strong left side and, you know, getting forward, and Hickey was, you know, played some games and was a part of that. So, you know, it's all right. It's good business. Everyone else they brought in, they brought... Burnley got absolutely wrecked. I mean, the entirety, I think, of the starting Burnley 11 is from that went down last season has been sold, and you know, Burnley are facing administration problems. Burnley are going to be the next club that were like in the Premier League that get relegated, and then they're going to get relegated again probably in the next 2 years, probably going to get relegated again, probably going to go in a bank. It's going to be one of them. Like, it's going to be Portsmouth all over again. I thought Leeds were going to get sucked into it. They were my pick to go down. I thought Burnley would find something and stay up, but you know, I got to be honest, I didn't like the way they did Sean Dyche dirty. I think he's been a fantastic servant to the club. Yes, he got them into that position. But, you know, if they were going to go down, I would have wanted Sean Dyche there in Division 1. I would have wanted a bit of steel. I would have wanted a strong character to try and get them back up. Because I'll tell you, coming out of the Championship, it's fucking harder to get out of the Championship than it is to stay in the Prem, in my opinion, having followed football for just a little bit. So, you know, but Ben Mee... M-E-E from Burnley also came into Brentford, started in their game, looked all right. So all of the Burnley players are gone, and we're going to be talking about lots about Burnley. Right, next up, Brighton. Man alive, you've got to love Brighton. Obviously beat Man United. And let me tell you, you talk about fucking delusional fans in this game. You talk about delusional fans. Man United fans, I was talking to some Man United fans after the game, and they were going, oh, we were unlucky not to get a draw. Which, by the way, first of all, if that's the standard you're setting for yourself at home at Old Trafford, that's outrageous. But on top of that, right, you had two red cards, potentially. The Harry Maguire push, where he put his hands on a player. Somebody else went in for a 50-50 challenge and went over the ball. Could have had two red cards, potentially, on any given day. If it wasn't opening day at Old Trafford, you'd probably get at least one. There was a blatant fucking penalty that was turned down, which would have made it 3-0, you would have assumed. And it would have been nice to see Welbeck get on the score sheet, because, spoiler, Welbeck absolutely fucking bossed that game. He didn't get a goal, he got an assist. He absolutely ran the Man United fucking defence ragged, right? And, you know, the problem with Welbeck is, obviously, he's one of those players that's lost, like, a significant amount of his career to injury. But he had a great game, and you hope he stays fit. But, like, low-key, I love Brighton. I really do. I think Graham Potter is one of the best managers in the league. Not hyperbole, not because they beat fucking United on the opening day or whatever. He just gets it. He just knows how to get the most out of his players. And keep in mind as well, they lost their two best players, arguably, from last season. Certainly two of their best players. They lost Cucurella, who massively overpriced for me. Again, Chelsea talks around the corner, so hold that thought. He looked good, not going to deny it. But City and Chelsea good? Yeah, I would have wanted another season. But, you know, they got 60 mil for him. Bissouma going to Spurs, another, you know, strong central midfield player, you know, good engine on him. But, you know, that right there is like 80 million of player that they've lost. They've lost £80 million of value in their squad, and yet they are still able to go to Old Trafford. And, you know, listen, for 60 minutes, they played United off the park. So Brighton are going to be absolutely fine this season. I just love what they're doing. Love Potter, love Brighton. They'll probably make another sign-in before the transfer window closes as well. Now, Chelsea. Always a popular one. I know we've got some Chelsea fans around these parts. By the way, fuck Chelsea fans. They're a different kind of annoying fan, aren't they, to the Arsenal fans. Chelsea these days, because I remember back in the day when Chelsea were a likeable team with likeable fans. You're going to go, Richard, there's no way that was ever a real thing. Oh, it was. I'm talking about back in the days when Ruud Gullit was still playing and he came over to Chelsea and then he ended up managing and he was like a player manager over there and they were still playing at the old fucking shed end. And then they brought in like fucking Viali and they brought in Zola, the little magic man. I got to see him play one time with my own eyes. I've never seen anything like it. What a gifted, wonderful talent. And they just had this like real, like likeable Italian legend culture. They liked to play sexy, attractive football, but there was a bit of steel in there. There was the cheeky Cockney, Dennis Wise, Frank Sinclair, you know, and it was this mix of like, you know, the tough steel of classic English football with the cultured Serie A legend, you know, players. Those guys were great. You could like Chelsea back then. And then, of course, our, you know, Russian oligarch, our Abramovich, comes in, starts spending the money crazy, crazy, crazy. Big culture change, stadium change, start winning titles, all the plastic fans come out. And now, as I said, you Chelsea fans are just gammons. They're just the annoying British gammon fan that wants to win. You know, they just missed out on United, a lot of them, or they couldn't be bothered because they were from London, and now, oh, yeah, we fucking love you, Chelsea. We fucking love you, Chelsea. Yeah. Hate it. Anyway, let me tell you, I think they made good signings, but I watched Chelsea in pre-season. I watched them get dusted by Arsenal 4-0. In that tournament, I think it was in Miami they were playing. They got fucking dusted. They got absolutely fucking destroyed. They were not in the races. It was so bad. Tuchel came out and roasted his fucking players. It's a pre-season friendly. Managers, by the way, in a pre-season friendly, what you're supposed to say, guys, is you're supposed to go, right, if it's bad, you go, it's a pre-season friendly. Where it's just about fitness. That's it. People are playing for positions. Instead, Tuchel came out and said, that's dog shit. We're not even going to compete in the Premier League. That tells you all you need to know. Tuchel's a savvy guy. He takes no shit. And let me tell you, they got problems. I think they've made signings, but something's not right. I mean, put it this way. I think the most important thing is they kept Aspilicueta, who was obviously like, everybody said he was 100% going to Barcelona. He was going to join that absolute outrageous Ponzi scheme that is the Barcelona Football Club. And like keeping Aspilicueta is like, I really think they needed that. They needed the captain to stay, needed to have that continuity at the club. They're bedding in these new players. I don't think Chelsea are going to do well. I think they're going to be this season's Tottenham. I think every game they play, feast or famine, they're not particularly good defensively. They also look like they capitulate quite a bit. But they made a great signing in Raheem Sterling. I don't know what it is with Raheem Sterling. I've literally got another video on my YouTube channel about how the media treated him. For me, Raheem Sterling gets no respect. It's outrageous. He's been a fantastic servant to two of the biggest clubs in the game. Got a glittering trophy cabinet. He's got a stellar record for England. And now he's gone to Chelsea, you know, getting some money. He's still got plenty of time, by the way. That is a fantastic signing. It should be one of the signings of the season. But I don't think Chelsea are going to have a good season. I think Chelsea would be like fifth, which is obviously not what they want to hear. But it could go even worse for them. I mean, you could find them, you know, dependent on a few others. They could be like seventh this year. It just depends if other clubs are going to get their shit together. And I don't understand it. I think their defense, it feels lightweight, but it shouldn't be. They've got a really good starting keeper. I think they've just entered into contract talks with Mendy to extend it. He just turned 30. They want to do, I think he's already got like 2 years left, but they want to extend it. That's all fine. You know, you look at the squad and you think about like, you know, you've got Reece James coming through. What a great player he is. You think about, you know, they got Chilwell in there. They got Silva in there. Obviously, I talked about the importance of them keeping Aspilicueta. They just signed, you know, this Koulibaly. They've just brought in Cucurella. You know, you think about how you've got N'Golo Kante. Like, he probably the best Premier League signing of all time when he joined Leicester. You know, you've got N'Golo Kante, like, just doing all the running and protecting you. Like, they shouldn't be as brittle as they are, but they are. And it is crazy, and I don't understand why. And then you think about them going forward. Now with Sterling, they've got a goal threat from midfield. But yeah, you know, Werner's out. You think about their striking problems they're going to have. Werner's out. Hudson-Odoi says he wants to go. That's an on and off move. Yeah, it feels like for me, where they're going to struggle this season is you put your defense under pressure if they're not having a good time and they can concede four goals in a heartbeat. You've got to watch out for that. But like, obviously, you've got to score goals at the other end. And, you know, I worry about them being able to do that. Feels to me that, yeah, for all the business they did, the thing that's going to go down in history that fucked Chelsea over for this season, maybe for another one, is they just couldn't make the Lukaku thing work. That's a huge issue. You know, they put so much money into bringing him there. Lukaku, it should have worked, and it didn't. I think Lukaku's attitude stank. But I also think the way he was being played in this in the team wasn't ideal for Lukaku. It's not how he likes to play. Yeah, I mean, surrendering on the Lukaku point and then not bringing in a big-name striker, I mean, there's still time. But I think that's going to cost them. And I think Chelsea, like I say, this season's Tottenham, feast or famine. They'll batter some teams because their midfield is so good. And they'll just apply pressure. Kante, just all the running. But, yeah. Honestly, 5th, 6th, maybe as low as 7th for me. Crystal Palace. You know, it's fine. It's all right. I mean, I don't feel like super strong about them. They didn't really do anything against Arsenal. But as I said, I expect Arsenal to be really, really good this season. They brought in that Doucouré. He's a midfielder. That was their, like, big bit of business. Decent signing. Very, you know, decent signing for Palace. But again, they're pretty much going to go with the squad they got. Oh, no, tell a lie. Chris Richards is on the list. Yes. Chris Richards, obviously, from Bayern Munich. Another one of those Americans that have now started playing in Europe a bit more. There's been a number of Americans coming to the Premier League. But yeah, I think they're much of a muchness. I don't think Crystal Palace have made any like significant improvements overall. I think they're going to be a solid mid-table side. Again, I think their, you know, team has like some bright spots in it. I like, obviously, Zaha, Eze in there up front. They've got Edouard, and he looked good since coming into the Premier League. With Doucouré in there as well, I think they've got a good start in 11. They have to stay injury free or it could get dicey for them. But, you know, mid-table team, no big deal there. Now, here's one that I'm definitely going to talk about. Bet the farm on this. If you want to go use that referral code that's going to pop up now, right? If you want to go use it, there it is, right? Bet £20, R. Lewis, get £20, midnight.com, bet B18, bet responsibly. You can just, Everton to go down. Everton to go down 100%. Fuck me. Everton has tested my preconceptions about absolutely everything I thought I knew about football. Last season, they were so fucking diabolically bad. And listen, I'm a guy that said I got time for Fat Frank. I like Frank Lampard. I said that. I said I think he'll be a good manager, you know, from when he was at Derby. And when he got airlifted into Chelsea, I was a bit of an apologist. And I said, like, oh, you should have given him a bit more time. But man, at Everton, he showed me nothing. He showed me absolutely fucking nothing. He showed me that he's a guy who, like, he walks in a room and basically, you know, hey, I'm Lampard. Hey, I'm your manager. Do I inspire you? And everyone goes, nah, I always thought Gerrard was a bit better, actually. And that's, and Scholes. And that's the end of it, isn't it? And that's just it. He's not who he thinks he is. He's not the manager I thought he was or could be. And it's just like every time he talks about tactics, it's the same old shit. We've got to do better. We've got to have desires. We've got to set ourselves better. Mate, your football is trash. You're playing this like fucked up, outdated system. And Everton looked terrible. They looked. I know they've got a terrible squad. I know they've been mismanaged by the board. But Everton have spent money. If you go look at it, they've spent tremendous amounts of money. You just don't know where it's gone. Now, listen, I'll tell you, things are as bad at Everton now for Lampard because they're fucking another hallowed saint, one of these, like, football royalty that just get away with it. Benitez was a fucking sleeper agent for Liverpool. He absolutely fucked Everton over in a way that, like, I just can't even be asked to talk about it. I don't know why anyone thought that move was going to be good. It was an insult to the Evertonian fans. He should never have fucking been there. I'll tell you this as a Newcastle fan. Rafa is one of the most overrated managers of all time historically. It's been that way ever since he left Valencia and basically relied on riding the fucking tits off Torres and Gerrard at Liverpool. Liverpool to win an actual mediocre haul of trophies for the squad he had, then went to Chelsea, and he's just been dining out on a few fucking memories, and then everyone went soft because he had a heart attack. He's a trash manager. He was overrated at Newcastle. I didn't want to keep him. I didn't give a fuck. It was no big deal to me when he fucked off, and I was glad he took Rondon with him, and I bet you Everton fans fucking agree with me. How bad is fucking Rondon? Yeah. So anyway, and I wrote an article about it called, well, I wrote two articles about it. There's one article, you can find Richard Lewis, Rafa's Not Mad, and you can find another one, Winter is Cruel to the Spanish Turnip. This is back when I used to be a sports writer. I've always seen through Rafa, because what people don't remember is that Valencia, the board made him a coach, and they had like a protocol for like bringing in players. And he didn't handle any of that shit. He just had a squad that he picked and coached and had a system he implemented. Once he started getting autonomy, it all started going downhill. He's a fraud. He's the original fraud. Fat Spanish waiter. Believe it. All the fucking... Believe all the memes. Anyway, so Lampard has got problems because now they're not going to spend money. And let me tell you, right? They got Tarkowski from Burnley on a free centre-back. By the way, put it this way, if your big name signings are coming from one of the teams that got fucking relegated, generally that's a really bad sign. They also brought in Dwight McNeil, also from Burnley. They brought in Connor Cody from Wolves on loan for the rest of the season. How the mighty have fallen. Connor Cody could have had a move to Newcastle and turned it down because he wanted to stay at Wolves. Found himself out of favour at Wolves, not at Wolves, despite being the former Wolves captain. And now he's on loan at Everton. He's going to get fucking relegated this season. And they brought in Onana from Lille, which is the big signing. I think they paid 30 mil for this defensive midfielder. So now, right, let's talk about what happened in their opening game, where, spoiler, they looked absolutely dog shit. And yes, they did lose to Chelsea. It was only 1-0 from a penalty, but they looked terrible the entire time. They had an injury in that game. Calvin Lewitt's out for 6 weeks. And this is the thing. How does the board sell Richarlison and then not replace him? How do you not use that money to replace him? It is mental. It is absolutely mental. It is one of the maddest things I've ever seen. Richarlison was the only reason. If you look at his goal stats, deliver, you know, all of it. His contribution is what kept them up. Absolutely ridiculous. You let your best player go. You let your best player go to Spurs. Right, fine. They're not going to be around where you are. That's all good. No big deal. You get 50 mil. You have a notoriously dodgy centre forward who can't stay fit. Couldn't even make it to the start of the season. Out for 6 weeks. They've got no one. They have absolutely no goal threat. They are going to lose all of their games. Trust me, here's a prediction. They'll be bottom of the league after 10 games played. And I'll tell you, here's the problem. What do you do? They've doubled down on Frank Lampard now. They've let him even spend some money, let him stick around. I'll tell you, they're going to get rid of him. They'll have to get rid of him. Once that happens, who are they bringing in? Who's going to want to be the manager that takes Everton down? Because they're not. By that point, the transfer window will be snapping shut like a fucking clam, and you've got no strikers, and your defenders are basically unwanted cast-offs from teams above you or fucking players that got relegated. It's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. I think this is the season they go down. I would bet the farm on it. I just feel they were super lucky to stay up last season. It literally took miracles, and one of the players that was instrumental in delivering those miracles, well, two players that were instrumental in delivering those miracles aren't going to be playing because Richarlison isn't there, and obviously the other guy is fucked. So it's over. Everton are going to break the streak. Fulham got a surprise draw, didn't they, against old Liverpool on the opening day of the season, which, not going to lie, didn't see that coming. But I will say, I fucking love Fulham's transfer business. I love it. I love it. I love it. I think they've done really, really well. They haven't overspent. I think they're going to stay in the league. I think they're going to surprise a few people. Here's the question. People that haven't seen Mitrovic play, again, as a Newcastle fan, have seen him play. People are asking questions about Mitrovic. How well is he going to do in the Prem? After he's just had this record-breaking season in the Champ. Obviously, last time he was in the Prem, he got 3 goals in 13, if memory serves me correctly. But that was playing in and out of the team, and it was obviously a dysfunctional team. He had a few knocks, and he was out of favour with Scott Parker. Here's their signings. First of all, if you're a Football Manager fan, rejoice! ex-Newcastle and Wolfsburg football manager legend Kevin Mbabu. He's in the league again. Kevin Mbabu is in the fucking league. I'm so excited to see Kevin Mbabu running up and down the right wing as a right wing back. It's absolutely amazing. Everyone has signed Kevin Mbabu. Anyone who's played football manager has signed Kevin Mbabu. Absolutely over the moon about that. You've got Shane Duffy on loan, another legend. They brought in Bernd Leno as well from Arsenal. He was like obviously the Arsenal reserve keeper. They brought him in to bolster up their options there. The big business though, and it's actually legit, is they got Palhinha from Sporting in Portugal. That's their big signing, 18 mil. Cultured defensive midfielder. Very, very good signing. Obviously, you've got the Benfica and Porto hegemony in the Portuguese league, but like he looks a very, very good player. You've also got Pereira, the Man United player. They brought him in. Like I say, you added Kevin Mbabu, you're adding the players they've already got, and the fact that Mitrovic has already got 2 goals for the season. I think he's going to carry on his goal-scoring form. He looked really good. He looked really, really good against Liverpool. Now, we'll add that Trent Alexander-Arnold once again got fucking caught out at right back. He cannot defend to save his fucking life. It's actually getting embarrassing at this stage. The Champions League final was bad enough, but this goal he gave up to Mitrovic, he didn't even know he was there. Of course he's there. He's a fucking striker. Of course he's going to be taking a run at the back stick when a fucking cross has come in. For me, I thought Mitrovic did very, very well. You keep him fit, I think Fulham stay up. And actually, as I said, I think they'll take a few scalps along the way. So, next up, Leeds. Don't like the business Leeds did. Back in the days of Bielsa ball, Leeds were fucking brittle. You want to talk about brittle teams that just seem to capitulate. After they lost Phillips and lost Bamford, you just realised how little Leeds actually had. And you would just back Leeds to lose 4-0 every fucking week. They were just, like, embarrassing. They just had no steel, no passion, no fire. Now, obviously, Phillips is at City right now. Again, a bit of business to me that it's the classic. Oh, he's an English international. Talk about that in a bit. But the players they've brought in, again, a lot of players from the Bundesliga. I think, actually, almost all of their business came from the Bundesliga. The ones that they... there was a Dutch player in there as well from Feyenoord. Sinisterra, the winger. But they brought in, like, again, young players. They don't have a lot of reputations. They're not coming in for cheap. They're just players that are, like, sort of established Bundesliga system players. I don't think they've brought in any names that really leap off the page to me that make me think, you know, I watch a little bit of German football. I'm not an aficionado by any authority. Obviously, watch as much of the Bayern and Dortmund games as I can. But for me, they've spent 80 mil. I want a big name in there. I want a name that leaps off the page, makes me convinced that Leeds United are going to be much improved. And yeah, they're all quality of life improvements, but I don't know. It's a lot of money to back young, unproven players coming into a league they've not played in before. So I don't know. I don't think Leeds did particularly great business. Maybe this will come back and bite me on the arse. I think Leeds struggle again this season, honestly. And if Bamford gets injured, things will get very, very dicey and they'll be like, you know, 16th. Leicester. Super weird. This is another one of the hot takes. This is another one of the bold ones coming in because I think Leicester are going to struggle this season. I mean, and when I say struggle, I think they're going to be down there. I think there's going to be whispers of relegation at some point in the season. I can't see it not happening. And they've got good players on the books, but it is vitally important that they don't let the ones that are being talked about going. There are 3 players that are being talked about as going before the transfer window closes. Now, James Maddison is one of them. James Maddison is 25. He's broke through into the England side. He's super important to what Leicester do. He's a really, really good midfielder. He's the type of player that I'm like, yeah, I wish Newcastle would sign a striker. But, you know, if we are going to spunk 50 mil up against the wall, Madison's the type of player I would want. I think, by the way, his stock's only going to go up, having just broke into the England team, and he looks like a player that's going to get caps. So, you know, for me, Madison at 50 mil, I think that might actually be a fucking steal. They're saying he's not for sale. They're saying he's not going to go. If Madison goes, Leicester got real problems. But that's not the end of it, because remember, they're fucking talking about Tielemans. Tielemans has been linked with clubs, and maybe Tielemans isn't going to make it through the fucking thing. Well, put it this way, you can't lose either of them, I don't think, if you're Leicester. I mean, yeah, if you keep one, Maybe. But for me, I think Tielemans is so important. Well, he's a fucking... He's a Belgian international, for fuck's sake. No one walks into the Belgian fucking squad. And, you know, they're talking about Tielemans might fucking go to Arsenal. There's last minute... I mean, I saw some fucking, you know, chip shop rags were saying that United were going to swoop in and make some sort of last minute blockbuster deal now that the De Jong deal had fallen through. But at the end of the day, Tielemans, for me, has got to stay at Leicester, and there's a high probability he won't. And that's not the end of the problems, because I don't know if you saw what happened in the game that they played. Fofana was even, like, when they scored a goal, Fofana wasn't even coming up to celebrate. He went straight down the tunnel at the end. He didn't do any signings for the players or anything. And obviously Fofana, French player, really, really good defender. He's their best defender, in my opinion. If Fofana goes, that's a huge loss. People were saying, oh, Schmeichel's gone. It's like, I don't think it's as bad as all that. Like, you know, I don't think Kasper Schmeichel's is dad. But, you know, it is weird that he went to Nice, right? So he goes, like, you know, join him. A not so great, like, you know, French team to walk away from Leicester. Something is fucking strange. And I just look at their squad and I look at the players they've got and the players they're going to be relying on. How many more years and seasons can Vardy do it for? Was he a Nacho or fucking flash in the pan? Their midfield is so important. Obviously, Harvey Barnes is in there as well. No one seems to want him, which is, you know, the good news. But if they lose any of those players, Leicester are going to struggle. I'll also just add, they haven't made a single signing. It looks like something's gone wrong. Because here's what's mad. If you go look this up, after they won the Premier League, they doubled their profits. It was something insane. They made more profit in the next year with the Champions League revenue and everything else. And because, obviously, of how much they'd spent, they made more profit than, like, United, Liverpool, City, you know, the big clubs. It just seems like the money's gone. They've just got no fucking money. They're fending off all of these, like, advances for these really good players. But, like, there's no one to replace them. Understand, they don't have anyone waiting in the wings in the youth academy to come in. So that terrifies me that they've not been able to make a single signing. Everton, as I said, they didn't do great business. They barely signed anyone and didn't replace Richarlison. Leicester have signed nobody. I'll also just say this. You want to talk about frauds? Brendan Rodgers is the ultimate fraud. The ultimate footballing fraud. I've always seen through that cunt. I'll tell you where I knew he was a fraud. I don't know if people remember how he got the Liverpool job. But let me tell you, when he was going for the Liverpool job, he was talking about how he had all these ideas for the club. And he pulled out like this big wedge of fucking paper and said, this is like a 60-page dossier just for some ideas I've got for the club. It like became a bit of a meme at the time. And then the thing that sickened me was the way that to ingratiate himself to the fans, he did a press conference. He was talking about how like, oh, you know, listen, I always kind of felt like I was a Liverpool fan on some level because I saw when I was a kid, I remember Hillsborough and how deeply it affected me. And I just thought, man, don't fucking use that tragedy to ingrace yourself to Liverpudlians. It's a particularly hallowed and important event in the history of the city that if you're not party to it, you don't get to fucking dine out on it. Because it's not just about the tragedy. It's about all the cover-ups in the fucking media and the fucking scum in the fucking Sun and the fucking Thatcher's government that fucking lied about it and covered it up. So those families that were grieving and the people that had to care for disabled relatives as a result of it had to fucking fight for 3 decades to get justice. Don't ever use that unless you've got a fucking reason to. That did it for me. I couldn't ever respect him as a manager after doing that. Moving away from the more emotive and explosive kind of components of things I don't like about Brendan Rodgers, let's just also say it. His teams fucking fizzle out. He comes in, he gets them playing a system, everybody has a honeymoon period, and then they just slowly, progressively get worse. You know, they're on the cusp of Europe season one. They're bottom end of mid-table season 2. Things are looking a bit dicey season 3. And out you go, you're fired. So for me, we're just locked into that typical Brendan Rodgers cycle at Leicester, compounded by the fact they're not making signs. They've got a good enough squad to avoid being in a relegation battle. If they lose any of those 3 players that are going to be going away, it's, again, 16th, 15th, bottom end, hard times. Liverpool! Liverpool FC. Right. their business, in general, I like their business. I like what they did. The Carvalho signing, that should have probably gone through last season, but obviously I think they missed the deadline. But that Fabio Carvalho coming in from Fulham, he was amazing at Fulham. I mean, he was like just so good. You could see he was way too good for that league by a million miles. He's only 19. You're picking him up for like peanuts, essentially. Really, really good signing. He's going to get the occasional game at Liverpool as young as he is. The Calvin Ramsey signing from Aberdeen, I think somebody told me that even though they only paid like 4 or 5 mil from it, it's an Aberdeen record, which I guess tells you all you need to know about Scottish football. That Calvin Ramsey at right back, I'd start playing him. I'ma tell you, I'd start playing him. Trent Alexander-Arnold is a fucking fraud. Again, he's on the fraud list this season. You know, listen, it's great that you can go forward. It's great that you can cross a ball. Spoiler, does anyone actually think his crossing is fucking overrated? Because every time I see him from a dead ball situation, it just doesn't go where it's supposed to. But anyway, Alexander Trent Arnold is great going forward. He's energy, he's lively, lots to like about him in a wing-back system. And you're going to go, you're not Ricardo Castro, stop talking about wing-backs. Wing-backs are dead. What next? Recommend him as a sweeper, Richard. Should bring back sweepers. Unironically. Anyway, the reality is his defending is trash. It is trashed here. And that you have a really good defensive unit at Liverpool that have been bailing him out. You know, season after season, you see it. You know, people have to work extra hard to fucking cover the mistakes he makes at back. And like, if the Champions League final isn't going to convince you if you're a Liverpool fan, then I don't know what is. To not even know, like, the guy, Vinicius, who's been running down that wing all fucking game, is going to run down that wing again this game after you've gone forward and you are literally nowhere, and that's going to be the goal that settles the chat. Nah, he's a constant letdown defensively for me. And like I say, the Mitrovic goal at the start of the season, he's like, oh, don't worry, I'll be all right to head this ball. A striker couldn't be hungry to like jump and actually go for it. It's a lack of awareness that's actually embarrassing for an England international, in my opinion. So I know that's probably the like absolute molten lava, hotter than the centre of the sun take for the whole thing. I want my defenders to be able to defend. I'm old fashioned like that. And I'll tell you, I would put a cat among the pigeons and I'd be playing Calvin Ramsey. I'd give him a go. Fuck it. Obviously, their big signing, Darwin Nunez, the Uruguayan centre forward that was playing at Benfica, had a fucking electric season in Benfica, part of that wonderful Benfica team. The money they've paid for him, good money. Klopp came in for a little bit of criticism because he said, I would never pay that much for an individual player. It sort of breaks football. I don't like it when City do it. I'm from the Bundesliga. We do things different there, etc., etc. Rinse and repeat, pick your favourite Klopp quote. But at the end of the day, Nunez is a good signing. I've seen all the memes. I've seen about 10 of them since he signed for Liverpool, where people are just combining all the times he has a mistouch or, you know, whatever. People have been doing that for ages. But at the end of the day, like, I saw him in pre-season. I saw him at the Charity Shield. I saw him when he came on in the opening game of the season at Fulham. Changed the game. It was just high energy, high tempo, a fucking menace. His cleverness with his finishes, the way that he plays with his back to the keeper, looks to flick, and it's just really disorientating for keepers to deal with. His runs, his tracking. Like, this guy's going to get you 20, 25 goals this season. At the end of the day, they had to do something about Mane going, I love Mane. You can go on my Twitter. I said Sadio Mane is probably one of the best bits of business in Premier League history when Liverpool signed him. I love that player and I really wanted them to keep him. He's going to destroy the Bundesliga. He's going to absolutely eat it alive. But, you know, you had to go big to replace a player like Mane. And at the end of the day, Nunez is that player. I don't think Liverpool are going to miss a beat. Do I think they're going to win the league this season? I'm not going to let the 2-2 against Fulham inform me. They were my pick coming in. I don't think City are going to do 3 on the spin. I know, now that I've said it, I'm 100% wrong. Guardiola's going to do it and City are going to win. But no, I think Liverpool are going to win the title this season. Next up, oh yeah, look at that. It is Man City. Man City's transfer business. Let me tell you, bit of a mixed one. I'm not really vibing with it. I know they only made 2 signings, but one of them I'm not really sold on. First of all, can we all just agree, before we even talk about Man City signings, Grealish is not a £100 million player. And actually, in Premier League terms, kind of feels a bit one-dimensional. I don't really like what he does in the team. It doesn't feel very dynamic or purposeful. He's getting that English international tax bump because of the rules in the league. Yeah, but listen, you say he's better at Villa, but I mean, he's just got license. He has carte blanche. Guardiola's not going to put up with the shit he was doing at Villa because of he was taking high risks and very often not getting a lot of rewards out of it, right? You know, he lost the ball a lot, Grealish. Anyway, so City's business is weird. It's always weird. And the Calvin Phillips signing for me, nah. Now, I know Calvin Phillips was like mega important to Leeds. And I said out like, oh, yeah, when they lost him and they lost Bamford, Leeds went off the fucking rails. And yeah, they plummeted down the league and they were suddenly in a relegation dogfight. I'm not vibing with Calvin Phillips. I thought he was like really overhyped when he had his run in England, in the England team at the last tournament. And everyone was saying, oh, Calvin Phillips, look at him, he like bosses the midfield and stuff, and he wasn't really bossing the midfield at all. He had one good game and then he was mediocre for sort of the rest of it. So yeah, I don't know, I don't think he's a City caliber player. He's not the type of player I would be spending 50 mil on. I think he's overhyped, and I don't think City should be signing players like that. If he wasn't an English international, they wouldn't. But Haaland, I mean, listen, what can you say? Like, 86 goals in 89 appearances, I think it was, for Dortmund. Like, just absolute machine. I saw him getting a lot of criticism on social media after the Charity Shield because he missed a bit of a sitter and, you know, hit the top of the bar on a goal he should have got. Probably wouldn't have affected the outcome of the game, but people were using it and mocking him. This guy's like, he's not natural. His precision, like, and you saw the penalty he took. It's like it literally can't be anymore in the corner. His precision, with his finishing, his height, just a nightmare to deal with, his upper body strength. But like, he doesn't even go fucking like skin to skin with a defender because his running is so good. The system that they're playing at City with the midfielders, like De Bruyne is gonna just fucking feed this guy. Like, it's actually ridiculous. Like, I know a lot of people are saying golden boot and it's like a really like tepid, lukewarm water take, but it probably is just how it's gonna go. Like, I can't see how it wouldn't. He's settled in, 2 goals already. Like, he's just an animal. Like, the guy is just good. And, you know, they picked him up for a fee that just wasn't even all that expensive, commensurate to, you know, who he is. And it's interesting. I heard a story, I think it was on The Athletic. He nearly didn't join for City because he said he didn't want to play in the Prem. And he thought that La Liga was going to be a better fit for him. And he was thinking about, I think it was Barca or Real. And he was persuaded personally by people at City to come to the Prem, and it was predicated on Pep Guardiola still being there as manager. That's what the rumors are, that he would only come to City if he got to play under Pep. And I'm telling you, when a player as good as him is endorsing a manager as good as Pep, and Pep's going to have that like reciprocal feedback, good things are happening to Haaland this season. Probably is going to get the golden boot, even if I do think they'll be runners-up in the league. You know, we'll wait and see. I think there's a couple of injuries that can happen to City that make them come and stuck and shit the bed and drop a few points. And if it happens at the right time, Liverpool will capitalise. Next up, United. Oh, boy. Get ready. United has been a club in crisis for so fucking long. No one's been talking about it. At first, it was people were just saying, like, oh, you know, we're not getting in the top four. Boo-hoo, this isn't good enough. And then they brought in Rangnick, and you saw that season fucking panned out. And let me tell you, I saw on Ten Hag's face after that first game, losing at home to Brighton. First time Brighton have won at Old Trafford in their history. And as I said, United were played off the park for 60 minutes of that game and got very lucky with refereeing decisions, or it would have been a blowout and embarrassing. I saw the look of a man going to the gallows. Like, he cannot believe what he's walked into. Think about the fucking preseason chatter that came out, right? So first of all, Eric Ten Hag comes in. There's meant to be a dressing room flare-up between Maguire and Ronaldo, apparently. And Maguire, like, had some issues there. It was all coming, whatever the fuck. Who cares? But then Eric Ten Hag had to say, yeah, I've banned drinking at the club through, like, on training weeks. Imagine having to fucking stipulate that. That, guys, we're here to fucking win. Let's not get pissed up like it's fucking the 90s and you're Paul Merson and Tony Adams on a weekend. Like, imagine having to say that now. He said he couldn't believe the culture at the club. And again, it went back under Solskjaer. Solskjaer was one of the boys. And he was like, oh, go in then, Harry, have a pint. It's all right. I just love being here. I'm Solskjaer. You remember when I won us the Champions League? Like, I don't know why he's a Geordie. But anyway, there was a massive backslide in the winning mentality at United and the culture that they had there. And they were getting back to the boozy culture, the lazy culture. And you could fucking see it. You could literally see it. Erik ten Hag has come from Ajax. He's come from a team notorious for its professionalism, its systems, its youth academy. Remember, Ajax is still, to this day, and I don't think it'll ever be beaten, the youngest ever team to win a European Cup, obviously the Champions League now, with the average age of someone like 22. Right, or 23, and they had like Danny Blint and in that team, who was like 32 at the time. He was their veteran or something. Ajax is a club built on fucking excellence. It runs like fucking clockwork, and that's what Eric's about. And I love him as a fit for a Premier League manager, but holy shit, he didn't realize how deep the rot was. And I see people going, oh, get the Glazers out of the club. Get the Glazers out of the club. Yeah, get the Glazers out of the club. Get them out of the league. Get them the fuck off back to baseball or whatever the fuck. Yeah, I'm all about that. The players. Right now, right here and right now, it's about the motherfucking players. And let me tell you, Ronaldo, I know we all love him. I know we all love him at United. He doesn't want to fucking be there. He spent the entire off-season assuming he would get to go back to one of the big clubs and carry on his legacy while United were trying to hold too fucking tight. And then he did that thing at their last fucking friendly where he got subbed and he didn't even stick around till the end of the game. And that was why Erik ten Hag left him out of the starting lineup. By the way, spoiler, this is how fuck things are. When Ronaldo came on, United actually looked like they had an attacking option and could fucking go forward. So God knows how the fuck that's going to get reconciled. Because once that transfer window shuts, I don't know how Ronaldo's going to react to it. And I think he still wants to be away. And I think he doesn't vibe with Erik. So you have got all sorts of problems. But it starts with just the fucking players. Step the fuck up. Like, listen, I grew up when United won everything and Fergie used to use Fergie time and intimidate refs, and the Premier League used to let him get away with breaking all the rules, not doing press conferences because the BBC hurt his feelings, even though every other manager had to come out and do it because of that documentary, and fucking throwing boots at Beckham's head and cutting his head and it just being brushed under the carpet with no misconduct investigations. I know, I used to hate all of that shit back then, but at the end of the day, you want to talk about winning mentalities, you want to talk about excellence, you want to talk about one of the greatest ever youth academy squads coming through and changing the way the Premier League works. This is all United's history. And it's no wonder United fans feel disgruntled. There was footage, actually, of United fans punching each other they were arguing and fighting each other in the fucking stands. And you've never seen that. United fans generally are a unit. Everyone's divided. Weird malaise around the club. By the way, the Brighton fans were singing, "Is this a library? Is this a library?" at Old fucking Trafford, and you could hear them. You would have thought they were the fucking home team. There is a malaise around United like almost no other club in the league. People do not know how big a rebuild job this is. And so Erik ten Hag needs time, he needs respect, and he needs to get some of these fucking clowns off the books. Because let me tell you, Maguire, can we stop now? Can we stop with like all the statistical padding you do to sort of justify Harry Maguire being a good fucking defender? It's embarrassing. Yeah, he had the most clearances last season. Yeah, he had the highest percentages of one headers or whatever for United. Ooh, brilliant. Yeah, he wasn't that good at fucking Leicester. He only commanded an 80 mil fucking price tag. He costs more than Van Dijk. It's fucking outrageous. He is a liability. His attitude fucking stinks. It was all that embarrassing bullshit with the fucking Greek holiday and all of that. Slabhead is a fucking mess. He's terrible. And as I said, he was getting fucking skinned by Welbeck the other day and nearly picked up a red card because he put hands on a player. If Maguire is like the captain, your problems start there. Like, put it this way, Varane, I don't know how that signing didn't work out, but he didn't impress me at all. It's crazy. They've been playing, obviously, Bailey. Dalot is in the side right now. Like, it's ridiculous. If it wasn't for Luke Berto Shawloss on the fucking left wing, because he's a left back, but he fucking gets down there. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think their defense is actually pretty bad. Like, it's not fucking great. Listen, everyone's saying Shaw is terrible. He's not terrible. That's an outrageous claim. Shaw is very, very good going forward. He gets stuck in. Yeah, he was one of their best players towards the end of last season. Obviously, did well in the England lineup as well. I think Shaw's fine. I don't have a problem with Shaw. Sorry. He's shit in defence. I don't think that's true. I'm not having it. I'm going to say I think Shaw's still got a good tackle on him. I'm not getting sucked into it. Bottom line is, though, their entire defensive unit is piss weak. It's not very good at all. And when you look at, like, they brought in Martinez. Martinez is, like, going to have to go in and just do work immediately. They really need someone that is sure and composed at the back, because it sure as shit ain't their fucking captain. Then you go to the midfield. I don't know who McTominay thinks he is. He thinks he's keen. He's fucking not. He's keen to get fucking dropped, in my opinion. I'm not a fan. Bruno Fernandes seems to have got, like, the heebie-jeebies, or whatever you might want to call him. You know, he's like Mr. Sitter right at the start of the game, which would have settled nerves and probably got them a result. Not like Bruno, master of the penalty. But Fred, how many times have I talked about this guy? Why, like, everyone was saying, oh, Rich, Fred got good. Fred got good. Like, fuck, like, I can't believe this guy's still at United. I cannot believe Fred is still at United. I can't believe he's still getting games. I just don't understand it. Anyway, Christian Eriksen coming in, an underwhelming signing. There is just no way I would be, like, keep in mind, Erik ten Hag said at a press conference when he announced that he was leaving Ronaldo out, he said, we've got players that can play in the Ronaldo role. Christian Eriksen is one of them. Then what are you talking about? I mean, like, listen, I like Erik ten Hag. I understand what he's trying to do and what he's trying to say and everything. I'm like, what? No. Like, this is not even the same, not even vaguely the same. And I thought Eriksen did all right in that game against Brighton. I thought he was a bright spot in, you know, there was a number of people who really disappointed me. Like, Sancho, I thought, was, like, really disappointing. You know, I was like, I was one of the guys, like, Sancho needs to get on the pitch more. Like, Sancho's going to be the guy. Like, nah, he's not the guy. Sancho really fucking disappointed me. But anyway, I know Eriksen, I'm just not on that signing at all. I'm not on that shit. I think that is not a United signing. Now, with that, like, announcement of the Arnautovic signing, the 33-year-old winger from Bologna that had, like, an okay period at West Ham, you know, and they were going to pay $7.5 million because they're desperate because, you know, they can't get De Jong from Barcelona anymore and they're scrambling before transfer deadline day. I don't know, Eriksen's that caliber of signing to me in my mind. United have to be aiming higher than that. You have to be aiming higher than a 30-year-old heart attack case from Brentford if you're Man United. I'm sorry, like, just is what it is. It sounds callous, but it's just, I wouldn't want to take the risk. Next up, Ronaldo, obviously in the team. Is he in the team? Is he staying? Is he going? Looks like he's going to go. Everyone's saying Martial did all right in pre-season. Ugh, is he coming on? Like, is he going to do anything? I'll also, here you go, another molten lava take for you. Rashford's not United calibre. I love the work he's done on the school dinners. I love his social media presence. He can't hit a cow's arse with a banjo. He's not scored in 15 games. Rashford, there you go. Put him on fraud watch too. I'm not having it. I don't think he's good enough for United. I think he's going into Welbeck territory. He needs to get out and get to another club and get some playing time at a club where he's a bit of a bigger fish. Because at United, he's going to be in and out and it's not going to help. So anyway, this, to me, is one of the worst United squads I've seen, maybe since Ferguson got the job. It's bad. Like, it's a really weak squad. Like, it is a really, really weak squad. I don't know where, where this team's going to finish. Not top four, I'll tell you that for free. It wouldn't matter if Erik ten Hag implements an amazing system and he's the best manager of all time. They just don't have the players for it. I can't even see him getting into Europe. I really can't. To me, on paper, I'm comparing it to all the other squads. I think they're going to struggle, like, against, like, a lot of the mid-table teams. I think the mid-table teams, you know, some of the teams I've earmarked for mid-table, I think they're going to pick up points against this United. Especially, like, when United are on the road and there's no big personalities and no leaders. Like, Keane hit the nail on the fucking head. Like, there's not a single player in this squad you would like want to take into the trenches. Not one. And you can't have that. So I think their business was underwhelming, although Martinez is going to be a good signing for them. I saw him play for Ajax a lot, and I think that's like really, really, really good. But they need a complete rebuild. They really do. And it has to start with getting Harry Maguire out of the club. You've got to sell him and use that money to buy someone else. Change the culture by changing the captain. Get some leaders in there. They're going to be reminiscing about the season that's just gone this season. That's how bad it is for United fans. Now we get to Newcastle, my team. I watched all of their games in pre-season. Can we have a fucking requiem on fucking Bruce? Do you remember Steve Bruce when he held the club to ransom and said, "Oh, I'm Geordie and I'm one of the lads, I've got a face that looks like someone's attacked me with a brick every day for last 10 years and I cannot manage and I'm fucking shite in every department and statistically I've made it the worst Newcastle team of all time," right? And he held the club to ransom and refused to fucking leave until he got his payout because he's always been a greedy bastard. Always. And then everyone in the media, everyone. "Oh, it's terrible how the club have treated Steve Bruce. Good footballing man. A great manager. He's managed over 1,000 games. He's got his 1,000th game at Newcastle in the moment. He is dog shit. He is dog shit. He went to West Brom and did dog shit and is going to do dog shit." By the way, also, just the fucking whore of the Midlands. Do you stand for anything, Steve? Do you stand for anything? You've been Villa. You've been fucking Blues. You've been West Brom. Do you stand for, is there anything you will not do? Is there any line you won't cross? I fucking hate him. I hate Steve Bruce. I hate him. And all the media running around and saying, like, "Look what Eddie Howe did with the same fucking players. Fuck off, Steve Bruce is shite." That, was that really the narrative? Oh, yeah, look it up. Look it up. Even Micah Richards, I believe, who, like, just, I don't think he has any connection to Steve Bruce whatsoever, right, was going, "Yeah, you know." He doesn't talk like that, does he? but anyway, he was saying, like, fucking, you know, "Oh, it's terrible, you know, like, Steve Bruce, a good guy, good footballer." So he's actually mental. I couldn't believe what I was saying. Anyway, I was a bit underwhelmed when we appointed Eddie Howe. And my mate, Gareth, told me, he said, "Listen, Rich, you've got a good manager there. I know a lot about Eddie Howe. I don't know why he does or how he does. But he told me, you know, Eddie Howe's fucking good. He's mustard. He's gonna turn your club around." And I said, "Yeah, but if you're going to spend all that blood money, all the hundreds of millions, richest club in the world, I want a cultured international manager. Like, why can't we have Pochettino? You know? And I'm like, why can't we have him? Why don't we go get Pochettino? And then I'm feeling better. Like, I'm actually excited. But you know what? Eddie Howe has been an absolute god. Like, he's done something I never thought I would see in my lifetime. He's turned us into a good defensive team. Holy shit. Dan Byrne. Oh, yep. He gets a blowjob if he comes over. You're all right. Matthew McConaughey first, obviously. But you're all right. He's playing lights out. Like, what a fucking signing he's been. This Sven Botman in pre-season that we fucking got. From Lille, Botman is fucking mint. I am landed with Sven Botman. 30 mil, fucking bargain. He's only 22. He's got Prem level fucking, you know, ability already. Only going to get better. And Eddie Howe, by the way, has shown me he can actually improve a player. How the fuck do I know that? Because he took Joel Linton, who, by the way, if it was down to me, I'd still put Joel Linton in prison for crimes against football, right? Because he still kicks a ball when he shoots. Like, he's got fucking pillows for feet, but whatever. And the cunt who signed him, a £40 million striker who can't shoot, can't pass. Anyway, whatever. Turns out Eddie Howe, rather than cut Joel Linton loose, and obviously Joel Linton's future's not at Newcastle. Like, he got sent off against Benfica and he lost that game 3-2 in the Eusebio Cup in pre-season. I was watching it on Newcastle TV. Joel Linton, he's turned into a decent defensive midfielder. Literally. And you know what? I'll say this, because he knows he's so shit, he loves the club. He loves the club and he runs about and he puts tackles in, he puts his body on the line. And you need a player like that. He's shite. He's still shite. Fans say to me, "Oh, Joel Linton's fucking good now, like, mate. He's fucking not. Like, we've just found a position for him where he does the least damage. That's all we've done. It's mitigation." But everyone needs that donkey in midfield. He's basically, we've took a £40 million striker and turned him into Carlton Palmer. I'm all right with that. That's fine. It works for me. And that's Eddie Howe done that. And he even beat a player the other day. I mean, fair enough, we were playing Forest. But, like, he fucking beat, he beat, like, two defenders. And then he had a shot that just, you know, meh. Joe Linton! It's become the new Heskey, that. But anyway, whatever. We signed Matt Target from Villa. Spoiler, what a slept-on left-back he is. He's been fucking solid. He's a better defender than Shaw, I'll give you that. Really like that signing. We had him on loan last season. I'm glad we made that permanent. And obviously, Nick Pope from Burnley is our starting keeper. I'm a bit back and forth on him in the pre-season, in the games I saw. I think he did concede every time we played him. I don't think he kept a clean sheet in preseason. I could be wrong about that. And he had a couple where he looked a bit floppy, a bit suspect. But, you know, end of the day, it's fine. I think our business this season was sound. The only thing I'm upset about at Newcastle, we absolutely must sign a striker. If we don't, we're going to be comfortably mid-table this season, I'd say. But we could really surprise a few people if we just had a goal-scoring threat. Chris Wood is fucking garbage. Probably one of the worst bits of business I think I've ever seen our club do. Like, obviously, a bit hyperbolic there. But, you know, to pay whatever it was, 25 fucking mil for a player who was, like, not even scoring at Burnley when all they were doing was hoofing the ball up to him at fucking Burnley. He's shite. He's really shite. Like, Callum Wilson is not going to stay fit. Callum Wilson will not stay fit this season. If he does, holy shit. I mean, listen, low-key, Callum Wilson could fucking, you know, be in the England mix if he stays fit. Because I'll tell you, his running, his finishing, deceptively good. He was another player when we signed him. I wasn't, like, mega sold on it, but he's totally won me over. But obviously, he can't fucking stay fit, and he won't stay fit. It would be a miracle if he did. But Chris Wood is shit. He's one of the worst strikers in the club's history for me. He's down there with the likes of Darren Huckabee. He's down there with Lamano, Luwa. You know, he's just fucking shite. He's no Niall Ranger, obviously, but he's shite. Not feeling Chris Wood at all. We do need a striker. Other than that, Eddie Howe has made us a defensive unit. We've got a very good selection in midfield. Now, Guimarães is fucking outrageous. Too good for Newcastle. And by the way, I know everyone says this when they come to a club, but, like, Bruno is there all the time with fans. That everyone wants to stick around. Like, he said in every interview, I want to become a Newcastle legend. Like, he speaks my language. And he's fucking outrageous. Like, he's too, you know, for 30 mil... You want to talk about, like, season bargains? He's, like, not quite a Kante-level signing, but he's up there. And he's so instrumental to what we do. So, loving it. Right? I think we've done good business the last two seasons, even with the money we've spent. We've stayed within financial fair play regulations, unlike certain clubs that wear sky blue jerseys. And I think we'll be all right. I think Newcastle, like I said, comfortable mid-table, high mid-table. 8th, maybe. Could be not. If we had a striker, we'd be knocking on the door for Europe, perhaps. Nottingham Forest! We played them. We beat them. Opening game of the season. I don't know what's going on. Nottingham Forest have signed, like, it feels like, well, they signed, like, 16 players. It's crazy. It's like, some of those players I like. Like, obviously, they got our boy, Nico Williams, from the Welsh international. Obviously, from Liverpool. Paid well over the odds from them. They paid, like, 20 mil. They got that Aurel Mangala, who's Belgian, I think. He's in and around the Belgian squad. All right. But, like, a lot of these players that they're bringing in, they brought them in on, like, less than 10 mil. Or, you know, some of them on frees. Again, they took, like, Jesse Lingard on a free. Dean Henderson on a free. Oh, Dean Henderson's on a loan, sorry. It feels like good business. But I always think that when you sign this many players all at once, you're going to struggle to get everyone to fit in. You're going to struggle for squad cohesion. You're going to struggle for continuity. You're going to struggle to even know who your starting 11 is, or like what your best starting 11 should be. And it's a lot. And it looks like what they've done is they've chucked shit at a wall in the hope that enough's going to stick so they can stay in the Prem. Now, that might work. Certainly, Forest, like, they were resilient against us, like, deceptively so. But they never looked like scoring. They never looked like scoring against us. Didn't have a lot going forward. We dominated possession. We were just, again, lacking that striker. And I think they're in, obviously, as a newly promoted team. And I loved what they were doing in the Championship. Saw them a lot last season. I think they're going to struggle despite having made so many signings. I know people in the chat already disagreeing with that. I don't know. I think they'll do well to stay up. Maybe could sneak it, but maybe not. Southampton. Weird one for me. I feel like Southampton are a team that should just be better than what they are. For whatever reason, they always seem to fall short. Like, they got battered in their opening game despite having took the lead. And listen, you want to talk about midfielders that, like, I'd be mega happy to have at Toon. You know, talking about Maddison maybe coming in so we don't have to play fucking Shelby or whatever. Obviously, Ward-Prowse is so good and a set-piece specialist on top of everything. But, like, I think Southampton are probably the team that struggle, like, that maybe surprises everybody. Because they've spent money again. They brought in Bazunu, who's, like, a keeper. They're looking to bolster their goalkeeping options. He was, like, a City reserves. And they brought in Mara, who's, like, a centre-forward, only 19, from Bordeaux. They brought in Lavia, the defensive midfielder from, again, City's reserves. And I'm just thinking, like, what they're trying to do is they're building for a future they might not even have. Because when you look at their squad, it's not great. It's not a solid squad. They've still got some issues, you know. They've still got some players where they've been milking last of the summer wine. Like, fucking Theo Walcott's still getting a game at fucking Southampton, for fuck's sake. So, I don't know. I'm not vibing with it. They don't have a solid goal threat. They don't have someone that's going to guarantee you even double figures in the nets. Some of their midfield now are like, it's like, can you believe Nathan Redmond, another project of the Blues? I remember watching him play when he played at Blues, obviously long time ago, when I used to go down to the Blues games with my mates. Sorry, Birmingham, in case you're wondering. And, you know, Redmond, I thought he was going to be, like, just unbelievable. I thought he was going to be, like, just mega. But I don't know. I really like their manager as well. But let's be real. They were really disappointing at the end of last season. And I just think they're carrying that form into this season. They didn't sign the type of players they needed and maybe change their fortunes a little bit. I think it's going to be a tough season overall for Southampton. Spurs! Now, Tottenham, their best bit of business was probably done last season, but it's going to have a profound impact on this season. And it's, what's he called, Kulishevsky. He has transformed that team. You look at what they already had, and you look at what they have added to it. I think Spurs are top four. I think you're probably talking Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Spurs. I think Spurs are ahead of Chelsea. Obviously, United aren't in the mix. I don't think fucking West Ham are going to be legit. I think it's a top four season for Spurs. I mean, look, I don't think they needed Richarlison. I'm not quite sure why they spent 50 mil on Richarlison. That's not where I would have strengthened. I think you look at, like, the one thing you'll say about Spurs is, like, when they go forward and score goals, they fucking score goals. I know they did lose Bergwijn. I think they were playing in kind of like on the left side of a front three. But, you know, I mean, Lucas Moura has proven he can score goals as well. So maybe it was all right. But now, like, having Richarlison up there, it seems like almost like a decadent excess. Son and Harry Kane still have that telepathic understanding. Great relationship, looking good. I thought it was crazy to think that, like, Spurs, you know, scored as many goals as they did. And obviously, you know, they weren't among them. We already talked about bringing in Bissouma, and they brought in Perisic from Inter Milan on a free, which I think is like a super, like, underrated signing, actually. I think he is one of those experienced players that, like, actually has done a lot in his career, part of that great Croatian, you know, generation of players that, like, were so, so good. And again, it just shows, like, Conte is he's the international football man. Like, he is the cultured European manager that you want at your club. He says all the right things. He doesn't give a fuck about the media or even his own board. And he's just got an eye for, like, again, really smart and savvy signings. So Spurs are going to be a treat. Defensively suspect, it's got to be said, although I am happy Eric Dier's back in the team. I was wrong about Dele Alli. I'll admit that one now. Last season, I said, listen, Dele Alli can be saved. Dele Alli cannot be saved. Eric Dier, who was out of favour at the time, I said, Eric Dier can be saved. Some people didn't believe that. 50% on that one. But yeah, he's great, obviously, on the score sheet with a, just, again, great little header. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, like, it's Spurs. This is like a shoe-in for a top four season. You know, they'll probably do it at a canter and look really good while they're doing it. It's going to be interesting. West Ham, I thought they did good business. I think, actually, they're up there. They probably, in terms of the signings they made, they've done some of the best business out of any of the teams. The Samaka signing from Sassuolo, I think he's going to be good when he gets his game. He was on as a sub. I think he came on for Antonio, actually. I think Antonio picked up a knock, if memory serves me right. I was only half watching that game. It was on in the background for their first games. But I think Samaka's going to be a player that's going to... It's going to take him a while to get started, but once he gets used to the pace of the Prem, I think he's going to be very good. He's 23, a lot of upside, only 30 mil. Yeah, watch out for him. And Maxwell Cornet from Burnley, really good signing. Was a standout in that Burnley team. I felt really sorry for him watching him play in that Burnley team at times last season. I thought he was fucking, you know, on point. You know, give him another option on that left wing. And for me, like, obviously, West Ham, it's about Antonio. They lost Mark Noble as well. He's gone out. Big signing. Big shoes to fill, I should say. Maybe they do need, like, another kind of, like, steely, bleed-for-the-cause midfielder type in there to kind of fill his boots. But I think overall, I think they've got a decent squad. I mean, they punched a little bit above their weight. Let's not forget, at a crucial point of the season, there was all that Kurt Zouma drama, you know, with a filming a fucking video of him kicking a cat. What a cunt. That sort of cast a cloud, you know, is he going to prison? Is he in the team? Does the club have to drop him? Moyes was under a lot of pressure at the press conferences because he said, we're going to educate the player, you know, as if you need to be educated about, you know, don't harm animals. That was the thing. But in general, I think they've got, like, you know, Declan Rice is in there. Suchek is still in there. You know, Benrahma's still in there. Antonio, I fucking love Antonio. I would kill to have Antonio at Newcastle. Antonio is such a Richard Lewis player. You don't understand. You don't understand. I want to be Antonio. I fucking love this guy so much. You've got Vlasic. Like, this is like a slept-on squad for me. And I think they'll be up there again. But, you know, they're never going to have a serious run at top four. They're just not good enough. And the teams above them are just, you know, so much better. But sixth. Particularly with things that are going on at Chelsea and how weird it is right now and United falling off and everything else. European football again for West Ham. And then Wolves are the last team. They actually got busy in the transfer market. And crucially, their best bit of business was obviously not losing any of the players that were highly touted. You know, think about where Leicester are now. You know, Neves was linked with United, I think maybe Arsenal at some point. There were a lot of sharks swimming around him. Retaining him was like a big deal. They struggle with strikers. I know they didn't get off to an ideal start, but their business, it's been all right. They brought in Hwang from Leipzig, the South Korean player. That's like a region that's kind of like actually low-key been producing good footballers again. Obviously, they did it back at the turn of the century. They're doing it again now. You know what? He only got 5 goals last season. That doesn't feel right at all, but it is. I'm looking at the numbers. He looked good, like. So, yeah, they've made that move permanent. That's fine. But, yeah, obviously, his track record, his appearances to goals ratio is appalling, so he needs to get that up. Guess he's more of a target man. So, yeah, they still need a clinical finisher. Their big signing is Guedes from Valencia. Guedes is a player that, you know, might, not a lot of people might know. Another part of the, you know, Portuguese exports. But in general, Traore's back. They only had Traore out on loan to Barcelona. And so that's another bonus. Again, you know, the story of Wolves is basically keeping players. Because, again, Traore's like a very Richard Lewis player tree, you know. If he doesn't go before the transfer window closes, he's going to be a benefit. Neves, obviously, sticking around. He's hugely important in what they do. Lacking a striker, 10th, you know. bang in the middle for me, Wolves. Very mediocre team, but definitely too good to go down, in my opinion. And there you have it. That's the Roster Mania. That's the signing.